Good evening. Thank you for taking a seat. It's tempting to be anxious on your first opportunity to preach, and now that you've heard that, you are probably more anxious than I am. But with what we're going to read and with what we're going to hear from the Lord tonight, you will see that we have no reason to be anxious. The Lord is at work tonight. With that, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to be starting at the end of verse 5 and reading through verse 7. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Will you please pray with me? Lord, we've heard your word these last couple seconds, Lord, and we've been singing it back to you this evening. And Lord, many of us have so many anxieties in our lives, things that are real, that are coming at us from all directions. And Lord, as you come into speak to us tonight, Lord, I pray that we would be able to put those aside, that we may be able to lift our requests to you, to bask in your presence, to enjoy communion with you tonight. And Lord, as this goes forward, Lord, I pray that we would remember that you are at hand and you're working at us this very moment and this very evening. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage begins with a statement that God is at work. It says, the Lord is at hand. He is present. He is active. And he's working in us tonight. So do not be anxious. That's the point of tonight. Let us not worry because our God is at work. Tonight we're going to split it up into three different questions. First, we're going to ask, what's anxiety? What is anxiety? Second, why not be anxious? Why not be anxious? And lastly, what is the consequence of all this? What is the consequence of all this? So first, what's anxiety? Here's kind of a short definition for you. Anxiety is the tension of wanting to be in control of the uncontrollable. It's that conflict we find in ourselves when our desires for things that are beyond our control take hold of us. For example, I distinctly remember this, and some of you do as well. During the winter, you want to go sledding. And you look at the newspaper, so this is the day before the internet, and you'd see that tomorrow it says it's going to snow. But it's going to be 32 degrees. So if it snows, it may not stick. And so as a kid, I would go, and I'd check the thermometer that day and say, okay, it's, you know, 25 degrees, should be okay. And then with some anxiety, like, well, tomorrow's going to be 32, so it may not stick. So you run outside, you check the ground, make sure it's frozen. I was anxious about whether it was going to snow tomorrow. That's what anxiety is in a nutshell. Sometimes we confuse anxiety with fear, and most of the time, the two go along with each other. When you're anxious, you're fearful. When you're fearful, you're anxious. But there's a difference. So to give you another example to kind of clarify this difference. With fear, what we have when we have fear is, for instance, when there are monsters under the bed, you're scared. We've all experienced that, I'm sure. Maybe we don't want to admit it, but at some point in your life, you were scared of the monsters under the bed. And the anxiety comes when you have to figure out, how am I going to fight off the monsters? What am I going to do about those guys under the bed when they come after me? That's how you can kind of keep these two separate from each other in your mind. But at the bottom, this is what anxiety is. And this is from David Paulison. He says that we become anxious because we want to get. See, with anxiety, there's this pull, there's this drive for what we ultimately are not in control of. And it's hard. It's frustrating to be anxious. Let's move on to the second question. Why not be anxious? Paul continues after saying, "The Lord is at hand," with this: "Do not be anxious about anything." But why, Paul? Why should I be anxious? Now, Paul's already answered that question. He's answered it in the statement, "The Lord is at hand." But he knows our hearts. Many of us are prone to anxiety. We want to control the uncontrollable. We want to work it out according to our plan. And most of the time, you have a pretty good plan for life, don't you? Most of the time, we got a pretty good plan. And sometimes we get such a good plan that if it just goes off a little bit, we know there will be disaster in our minds. If this doesn't go according to what I want, it's not going to work out in the end. So I'm going to lose my job if this doesn't work. I'm going to fail this class. I'm going to get hurt. I won't get what I wanted. I'm going to get in an accident. But this has to work out according to my plan. Otherwise, disaster will strike. But why, Paul? Why do not be anxious for anything? And look on. Do not be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. In everything. It's universal. Everything. We're to let our requests be made to God. Bring it all to the Lord. This includes the small, petty things like, is it going to snow tomorrow? Am I going to get to work on time? I'm sure many of us experience that on a daily basis. Am I going to do well on this homework assignment? Are my kids going to behave tonight? Is Jonathan going to sleep through the night? God wants you to bring all that to Him. He wants to bring it to Him that He may hear your requests. Now, this can be confusing because sometimes we mistake this for thinking that it's just a Hail Mary. You know, let go and let God do, and you're good. That's not what Paul's saying. He's talking about having a sweet and abiding communion with the Lord. That's why he says, pray with thanksgiving. And here's a question for you. How are we to pray with thanksgiving when God doesn't answer our prayers? I acutely remember this as a child happened to me. I was about 10, and we were watching the Colts game, and I prayed for a first down. Colts didn't get the first down. And they didn't win the game. And they lost as usual. And they went on and did not win the Super Bowl. And that was a really impactful afternoon for me. I still remember to this day. Prayer doesn't work. It really doesn't. See, I prayed for the Colts to get that first down. I asked God. I followed this. Hey, God didn't answer my prayer. And I'm sure many of you have experienced this on a much more deeper level and a much more hurtful level than just the Colts getting a first down. Bottom line is God didn't answer your prayer. He answered mine. And doesn't Scripture say, what Christ says in Matthew, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Similarly in Mark, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it and it will be yours. Did we not just believe enough? Did I just not have enough faith? If I believed harder, would the Colts have gotten that first down? Is that really the case? Now you see here, I had a plan. I wanted the Colts to win. I wanted the Colts to get that first down. Here was the David Pulliam plan of how the Colts were going to do this. Get the first down, keep moving the ball down the field, get the touchdown, move on, win the game, get to the Super Bowl, and you're good. That's the David Pulliam plan. What did God want? What was God's plan for the Colts? Well, that didn't matter. David had a plan, and that had to be done. And this remember, there's nothing wrong with wanting the Colts to win. Okay? No one's saying that. It's okay to want the Colts to win. But when you're like me, and you're on your knees, and you're begging God for a first down, there's a deep sin going on in my heart. When we grow anxious, it's actually a sign of what's going on in our heart. We're beginning to rely on our own plans. We're beginning to rely on the things of this world rather than looking to the Lord to bring Him and follow His plan. And this is why you bring all your anxieties to Him. Even the small, petty ones. You take those idols and you give them to the Lord. when this happens. So instead of saying these Hail Marys, we pray like this: Lord, you're at hand. You're active. You're all powerful. I'm fearful. I'm worried. I don't know if the Colts are going to get that touchdown, but I know you are great, and I know you're an awesome God who sent his Son to defeat death and destroy sin. God, I trust in you. I want the Colts to win, but let your will be done, not my will. For you are a good God, a merciful God who is gentle and slow to anger. Now, did you hear what that prayer became? Rather than saying, "Dear God, you know, help the Colts get the first down," and saying that a million times, you're actively seeking the Lord, and you're speaking to him as he truly is. You're calling on the name of the Lord, speaking to him as he really is. You're transferring yourself from being an anxious person to being a worshiping person. Now, don't get confused here. This passage is not saying, do not let your requests be made known to God. It's the opposite. Let your requests be made known to the Lord. But make the focus of your prayer be on God and not your own plan. Use your conversation with the Lord to mold your will with his will, not the other way around. And this brings us to the third point. The third question. What's the consequence of all this? And this is what Paul tells us. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Some of you have heard of John Wesley's encounter while traveling from England to the Americas in the 1700s. He went to unsaved as a missionary to Georgia, and as you know, in the 1700s, it takes a couple weeks to cross the Atlantic. And during this voyage, there was a storm, and it actually happened during the worship service. And this is how he describes the storm. Wesley says, "The sea broke over, split the mainsail in pieces, covered the ship, and poured in between the decks, as if the great deep had already swallowed us up." Now, Wesley recounts how so many of his fellow travelers, including himself, were of great fear, were of great anxiety. But the Moravian missionaries who were with them were not anxious at all. He goes on, "A terrible screaming began among the English. The Germans," so that's the Moravians, "the Germans calmly sung on. I asked one of them afterwards, 'Was you not afraid?' He answered, 'I thank God, no.' I asked, 'But were not your women and children afraid?' He replied mildly, 'No, our women and children are not afraid to die. From them I went to their crying, trembling neighbors and pointed to them the difference.'" This story is an example of how when our hearts and our minds are set on the Lord, the things that occupy us, our plans, that are the cause for our anxiety, are given to the Lord, and God begins to work in us, creating peace. Now notice, this is not stoicism. This is not grit your teeth and hang on there and just don't show anything at all. It's not that at all. It's peace. But what is peace? Maybe the first idea that came to your mind was, you know, a lack of war. That's pretty good. Yeah, of course, peace is the lack of war. Maybe a picture of a valley full of flowers came to your mind. That's also peace. But peace is much deeper, much richer. Here's what peace is. Peace is when everything is working together according to its function. A good example of this is a car. Okay, when you have a car and it's at peace, this car does not have any black smoke billowing out the back. You're not hearing clickety-clack, clankety-clank in the motor. It's that quiet, strong roar. I see this in the classroom once in a while with my students. Is when there is peace in the room, it won't be a dead, silent room. No, kids are on the edge of their seat. There's a glint in their eyes. They're desiring to know. They're talking with each other about the content. That's a room at peace. You can see this, say, in a construction site. A peaceful construction site. There's a lot of noise going on there. You hear the clanging of the tools, the workmen and workmen yelling at each other, trying to get things done. That is a work site at peace. See, peace is when everything is going according to plan. And if you think about this for a moment, in this world, our plans don't work out. Only God's plan works out. See, the Lord is at hand. Once we can begin to realize this and we're able to give our anxious cares to our Almighty God, that is when we begin to grow in peace. Now, this is not instantaneous. This is not something you achieve and you can move on to the next thing. There is a constant battle with anxiety that many of us have. And just even yesterday, I was driving to meet with someone in the morning and I was late. And so I'm driving along and I'm thinking in my mind, okay, if I go 15 miles per hour over the speed limit and I don't get any red lights, and if I get a red light, if I wait just 15 seconds, I'm going to be okay. You know, it's still a battle. But when we are able to get to a point in our lives where you're in a situation and you know you shouldn't be at peace, but the Lord gives you that peace because you have let Him know of your anxieties. This is when the world stands back and is surprised. This is when the world says, how can you be at peace with this going on? This is incomprehensible. It's beyond understanding. And this is what Paul goes on to say about this peace that is beyond understanding. This peace of God guards your heart and your mind. In the midst of those traumatic moments, or in the midst of those long, long nights of anxiety, where there's this long, dripping sense of you don't know what's going to happen, God is there. He is guarding you. He is protecting you. And how does God do this? This gets to the end of the passage. In Christ Jesus. Christ guards our hearts and our minds. Do you want to know the real source of your anxiety? Where does it really come from? It's because of sin. It might be your own sin, like me and the Colts. I had an idol in my heart. I wanted the Colts to win. It might be a natural evil in this world. You're anxious about, you say, you know, your house burning down or something. Or you're anxious about a sin that someone might commit against you, being sinned against. That's all sin. All our anxieties come from sin. And Jesus came to defeat sin. He did not come just to get rid of your anxiety. He came to get rid of the source of your anxiety. And this passage that Paul so clearly tells us, do not be anxious, because Christ has come, Christ has won, He has defeated sin. The Lord is at hand. Now, in saying this, Paul's not saying, you know, sin is completely gone. Obviously, it's not. Quite the opposite. Sin is real, and it hurts. And there is a big struggle with all Christians in this battle with sin. And this is why Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Let your request be made known to God. Jesus wants you to speak to Him, that you may talk to Him, that you may learn from Him, that you may feast on Him. Because the Lord has made Himself as a sacrifice so that you can walk in and you can sit down in the presence of the living God. And you can say something as small as, Lord, I want the Colts to win. And he will listen to you. Sure, as a loving father, He may not give you what you want. But in prayer, He exposes Himself to you and shows you that your love for the Colts is a worthless idol. It's of little significance in light of eternity. He shows you that He is in control over everything, that what you're anxious about, that's all in His hands. He's guarding your hearts. He's guarding your minds. He is giving you peace from anxious things that are found in this world. And that peace is here right now. The Lord is at hand. The gospel is that powerful. Yes, we look forward with yearning hearts to the return of our Lord. Oh, but look how powerful, look how great the gospel is. Right now, we're able to be at peace because of what Christ has done. And we can say, this is a terrible situation I'm in. This is really hard. But I've prayed to my God, the living God, and I've spoken to Him, and He has listened. I thank Him. And I hold to Him, blessed be the name of the Lord. And the world says, how can this be? why are you so peaceful? Why are you not worried? You should be terrified. You should be anxious. And this is when we become a real witness for the gospel. This is when people begin to see the gospel changing the world. Because the world looks at us. It looks at a believer and says, you should be anxious, but they're not. But believers, of course you don't forget this terrible situation you're in. You don't deny the reality of it. But the Christian Savior is so great, so powerful, that not only do we look forward to the return of Christ, but we're actively building His kingdom through His power in the midst of this hurting world. And we're doing it in peace. And why? Because the Lord is at hand. So do not be anxious. Lift up your requests to the Lord. And be comforted in your minds and your hearts. For the Lord is at hand.